Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Is Casey Akpala in the starting lineup perhaps an indictment on the defensive efforts of the other four?
No. I mean, I just think that, you know, you're going to try something. And it really does. Like, I talked about this on the podcast we just had, and I've got a piece going up in a little while. Like, my first year covering this team, also, like that first year, Marcus Landry was signed to the team, right? So we got to training camp, and it was supposed to be like Dante Green and Omri Caspi battling it out against each other for the starting small forward spot. Well, Carl Landry's little brother, Marcus Landry, was signed to like a summer contract and showed up to camp. And Paul Westphal ended up starting him the first two games. And Marcus Landry was really good and probably deserved to not only make the team, which he did not 2 weeks later, but he probably deserved to play. And they had brought in, I think it was Antoine Wright, and they had some other guys that they were going to try at that position and like mix and match and do all this stuff. But at the end of the day, you know, that's an example of where just because you play someone in preseason doesn't even mean they're going to make the team just because you're starting them in preseason. And that, I don't think that will be the case with KZ. I think he will make the team. But I also know that, like most NBA coaches, they don't want to put their best five players in the starting five, because then where are you going to go from there? That's it. Like, if something's gone wrong, you've already put your best players out there. You got to have something else in reserve on the bench. And that's why I think we are seeing Keegan Murray on the bench right now, because I think he is one of their best five players. But for right now, it makes more sense. He's going to get more touches with that second unit. And the fact is that if they decide that Akpala isn't the answer, that doesn't necessarily mean that Keegan Murray is the answer. It could mean that Akpala falls completely out of the rotation and they go to someone different, Trey Lyles, or they go to Chima Moneki. They just try something completely different at that position to give them a different look than what they're already putting out there. So I think people shouldn't read too much into game one of preseason. If it's game two, game three, and he's still the starter, then KZ Akpala is probably going to be the starter. But even that, how long will it last if their offense isn't working?
You look at what they have shooting wise, and we didn't see it last night. You know, they didn't shoot the ball very well from beyond the arc last night. But do you think that's kind of an admiration, like guys just kind of getting a feel for everything? Or do you think they have enough shooting? I know that was a big emphasis this off season. And then you see the first game, they shoot, what was it, 12 or 29 from beyond the arc or something like that. Is that, in your opinion, an admiration, or do they need to still be hunting for more shooting somewhere?
Well, I don't think any team can have enough shooting. Like that's just the NBA way now. You know, when teams are shooting so many three-pointers, it's crazy. I'm going to say that for this team, though, specifically right now, I think they do have enough. It's just combinations of players. You got to figure, you know, it just goes back to, like, the tough guy from last year. They brought in some tough guys that, you know, were going to help change things, guys like Tristan Thompson. And, you know, when you bring in tough guys, even Alex Len, that's fine. You can have tough guys. But if they don't step on the floor, then they can't be a tough guy, you know? So, again, when you're talking about the three-point shooters, like, you know, it doesn't really matter when you bring in a Sam Merrill if Sam Merrill's not going to play, or Terrence Davis can be a great three-point shooter, but if he's not playing, it doesn't really matter. So you got to have the guys that are on the court that are playing be really good three-point shooters, which, like, look, I think the interesting thing about KZ Akpala is that he was a very good offensive player in his sophomore year at Stanford. He was a good three-point shooter. He was a good player offensively. I think he averaged 19 points a game in his sophomore season before he went into the draft. He's got all the tools. He's been sitting like on the bench in Miami for 3 years. We have no idea what he is and who he is as a player. And until he proves he's a three-point shooter, it doesn't even matter if he hits a couple. You know, he's got to prove that he can do it night in and night out in order for defenses to actually play him on the defensive end. And, something that, you know, last season we saw, Mo Harkless was never able to prove it. He couldn't prove that he can hit the three. And even though the Kings were a much better team when he was on the court, it just, everyone else, like, it didn't feel right. It didn't look right. And I know we got to a certain point in the season and they were like 15-15 with Mo Harkless in the starting lineup. And that team was horrible. And he was at 500 as a starter. And it shows you that a defensive player can change the whole complexity of what you're doing. But the other guys have to really pick it up in order for that to happen.
Keegan was really comfortable last night with that second unit and aggressive in getting his points. Is that something that can translate if he were to be moved to the starting lineup, or if this is a earn your spot type thing? Is that something that could translate with Harrison and Sabonis and Fox and Herter or Monk on the floor at the same time?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you look at, even if you plug him in right now, he's your fourth or your fifth option in the starting lineup. And that's not because
I'm not sure that he is, though. I feel like he might wind up being your third.
Well, it might be the case, but it also, I mean, we have to respect the fact that Harrison Barnes has done it for more than, you know,
sure,
summer league and one preseason game. You know, he's done it for the last decade in the NBA. And so, like, you're going to have trust in him. And then where do you put, if he's going to be, let's say he is your third and Harrison's your fourth, well, what does that make? Kevin Herter's now your fifth option, and he's such a lethal weapon. And again, the key to Kevin Herter is he's going to space the floor. So it's not just that, you know, even if he is in your starting lineup and you have to actually play him, you actually need the three-pointers from Kevin Herter. You need him to have 10 to 12 shots a game. It's one thing to have a shooter. It's the whole other. I mean, how many times do we have to complain that Harrison Barnes doesn't shoot the ball enough? If Kevin Herter is your fifth option and he's just not getting enough touches, that's also going to be a problem. And so I think it's Mike Brown has a lot of figuring out to do. He's got a bunch of puzzle pieces and he's got to figure out where they all fit. And I think for right now, he's going to be grasping at straws in certain situations. In other situations, it's going to feel really comfortable. If you looked at the second unit looked really solid and balanced.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the second unit that made a lot of sense. But you got to have your guys play better. You know, some those guys have to hit shots as well. But yeah, I think that there's just going to be more tinkering. And that's what preseason and training camp is about. It's about tinkering and trying to figure everything out. And I do think, you know, it won't be that long before Keegan Murray is in the starting lineup if it's not opening night. I mean, he's going to be pushing for Rookie of the Year right out of the gate. And the Kings are going to want to embrace that. And that means he's going to have to slide into that starting lineup at some point.
Y'all remember Tinker Toys?
Oh, of course. Lincoln Logs and Tinker Toys.
Tinker Toys.
Yeah. There's little things that you like connect. They were like sticks and wheels. That's all it was. Tinker Toys. Yeah. I immediately think of Tinker Toys. My grandma had them.
I don't remember that. I remember the thumb wrestlers, though.
Oh, I had those. I had the big rubber, the big giant rubber guys, too, where when you punched one of them, like the whole paint would like smear off. I had them joints,
too. Did you have Rock'em Sock'em? Where
I never really had those things.
I played that. It wasn't mine.
Okay.
I felt all like right. That was big money. I didn't have the big money. I had the little rubber guys. The Rock'em Sock'em was too big of money for me.
That's funny.
James, what'd you think about De'Aaron Fox last night? Not the best shooting performance, but one thing that I take out of that personally is, you know, it wasn't the best shooting performance, but he found a way to get some numbers on the board. He didn't play much, but he was at 10 points, whatever the case may be. And one of the things that I noticed from a lot of top tier players is that happens from time to time. Like, you're not shooting the ball well, but they find a way to get easy buckets. They usually find ways to get to the line, knock down their free throws, and that's how you get to your people that average 23 points a night. They're not always on and shooting great, but they find a way to get those numbers come hell or high water. What did you think about Fox's performance last night?
Yeah, so, okay. Well, first of all, in the chatty house, where the Erector set was the biggest, that's the rich kid toy. If you had Lincoln Logs and Tinker Toys, it was the Erector set with the little tiny screws, and that's the rich kid had those.
Yeah.
Okay, so when it comes to Fox, look, I'm going to say straight up, I was disappointed. I was disappointed because I thought it was just the same stuff that we saw last year during the bad times until we got to the late second quarter when he was in for the second time and he put his foot down. I don't care about his numbers. Win the game. Make winning plays. Don't let Russell Westbrook blow by you and go right to the basket when your coach is yelling and screaming about playing defense. Don't have your coach yelling at you to run the ball up and down the court. When you're open, hit your wide open shots, which he didn't do. And then, you know what? Like the creative stuff, the amazing stuff when he's getting downhill and running at the rim. Like, where's that in the first quarter? Where is that in your first stint? Set the tempo to open the game. Don't make people wait for it. Set the standard of how the game is going to go, the force you're going to play with in the opening minutes. Don't try to get your feet wet and like, oh, dabble a little bit in what's happening. Hit it hard in the beginning, and then you set the standard of what's going to be expected for the rest of the game, not from just from you, but from your teammates. And I want to see that early. I don't want to wait until right before halftime when the game is clunky and ugly anyways already.
What do you think changes Sunday?
I just think they'll be better. Like, they're going to have 4 days of practice, and that's 4 days of practice today versus 4 days of practice in the middle of the season means something totally different. They're still trying to get comfortable. They're still trying to figure things out. They do know right now is there's one big dog who's leading everything, and that's Mike Brown, and he's telling them exactly what's going to happen. Now it's their job to interpret what he's doing and put it on the floor and make it work. And we saw him use timeouts really well and, you know, give guys an earful. We saw the whole situation on Saturday where in all my time covering this team, I've never seen a coach in front of the entire team, in front of the media, call out a player, have him standing there and literally lay into him about not making a big enough impact on the court during a practice session. I haven't seen it. Like in front of the media, that stuff happens all the time, but in front of the media, that doesn't usually happen. And I thought it was an interesting moment for Mike Brown and just the way he's going to handle things. I think Davion's the right guy to do that with because he's just going to take it as a challenge and you're not going to hurt feelings. But I still thought it was like a moment that, again, we just haven't seen before. And you can't say, oh, it's just Luke Walton. Like, this is my ninth head coach. I've never seen that before where a coach calls out a player in front of the media like that. And I thought that's what this season's going to be about. It's about accountability from like day one. If you're going to get in a scrimmage at practice, get busted up 12-1, your team's going to lose 12-1 and you don't make an impact, you should hear it. That's it.
Great stuff, James. Thanks for jumping on with us for a little bit. James will be back regularly scheduled program tomorrow at 3. Jason Jones joins us. And we've got Kings tickets. Kings opening night. We have got you covered when we return here on D'Lo and KC on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news,
you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
D'Lo and KC continues. Streaming live on the Odyssey app.
Live on the Odyssey app. Live. You should download. Everybody should download the Odyssey app. It's one of the great ways, probably the best way to listen to D'Lo and Casey. Because if you're out of town, people talk about signals. We've got this 50,000 watt signal. Dude, no one cares. They listen on their phone. Download the Odyssey app. Search ESPN 1320. Hit the heart button. You can literally listen to us anywhere in the country. We've got you. You can watch the show as well. Twitch.tv/ESPN1320. YouTube.com/ESPN1320. We're on Twitter, and sources tell me we're going to be live everywhere. Potentially beginning as soon as Friday with some changes coming to D'Lo and Casey Monday, where we are allegedly going to be broadcasting live for the first time from a studio. Live for the first time together in the same room at the same time.
Ever. Nice. Hey, real quick. Oh, go ahead. Say what you're going to say.
I was going to give away Kings tickets.
Go ahead and do that real quick. I got something I want to say after that.
Okay, let's give away Kings tickets right now. We've got tickets to the opener. Of course, you can go to kings.com/tickets if you want to buy them. But why buy them when you can win them from us all week long? Caller number three right now, 916-909-1320. Sacramento Kings are 1-0 right now in the preseason, but that doesn't matter. It's 1-0, and they're going to make it 1-0 in the regular season, but only if you're there. Caller number three right now, 916-909-1320. Win tickets for Kings opening night. Remember, we've got you covered all week, and I'm just doing some math in my head for those not just tuning in. Unfortunately, due to circumstances beyond our control, unforeseen circumstances, as some would say, we're not going to be here on Thursday. I promise you we did everything we could to avoid it, but we won't be here Thursday, which means we'll have two pair of tickets to give away on Friday. So you're just going to have to get through Thursday. I know it'll suck. Catch up on your podcast.
Yeah, listen to Corners of the Culture comes out on Thursday.
Corners of the Culture absolutely comes out on Thursday. So catch up on everything, and then be with us on Friday. We'll give away two pairs of tickets to see the Sacramento Kings opening night.
Yeah. I said I had one thing. I remembered I got two things. So I asked you if you had a starter jacket. You said you had a Raiders jacket, all this other stuff. That reminded me. Our guy had a pretty, this one thing I remember about our, the homie who has endless Starkey baby gifts.
Ah, yes.
He had a Sharks starter jacket.
You went to school with my nemesis. Dude just tortures me on social media on a daily. And yes, you went to private school.
There's no, we have nothing to do with nothing. Just to get another gift in there.
He has a Ricky Starks gift for every occasion, and I don't understand how or why. I don't know why that happened. Like every, I'm tweeting about the Kings. He's got a Ricky Starks gift. I'm tweeting about the 49ers. He's got a Ricky Starks gift. I'm tweeting about having a nice gay. He has a Ricky Starks gift. I congratulated Jill on her new job, and he had a gift for that.
He's a relentless.
It's online
relentless.
Bullying. It's what it is.
It is hilarious. By the way, I was watching the AEW Rampage on Friday. Once again, I just want to reiterate how much I do not like Ricky Starks as a baby face.
I don't like it either.
It's not okay. Turn on somebody quick, Ricky. Come on, Rick. So there's that. So that was one thing. The other thing that I wanted to bring up was NFL legend Brett Favre, who has become a central figure in ongoing coverage of the Mississippi welfare scandal, has hired former Trump White House attorney Eric Hirschman as his lead counsel. Just a daily reminder. That's all. Just a daily reminder.
If you would like to sponsor this reminder that Brett Favre should be in jail, contact rich.ripley@odyssey.com, because not a day will go by where we don't remind you that Brett Favre should be rotting in prison right now. Brett Favre is trash. He is a horrible human being who has broken the law repeatedly and knowingly, and he deserves to be rotting in prison right now. We are going to remind you every day. So if you would like to sponsor our Brett Favre should be in jail segment, contact rich.ripley@odyssey.com. At some point, I'm just going to make Rich sponsor all of these segments. And the great part is, I know Rich is listening. Rich might be the only person in our entire building who listens to this radio show on the daily. So, Rich, Thursday, we're coming for you. Did you watch any did you watch any basketball besides the Kings last night?
I saw a little bit of the Sixers and the Nets, not a whole lot. Saw highlights of the Grizzlies game. That was about it.
It's bringing the homie Jason Jones. If the Ricky Starts Giffer is my nemesis on social media, perhaps Jason Jones is your nemesis on social media. Jason Jones minding his own business last night, just trying to watch the Los Angeles Lakers, and Kenny's got to jump in with some take about the 49ers.
I was bothering no one.
See how he does that? We're not going to do that, because on Sunday, I was just talking about how, hey, NFL Sundays without the 49ers is kind of mid, just facing facts. Talking to nobody, just nobody directing, no ads. All of a sudden, the professor hops in there and talking about nobody wants to see anybody putting up 10 points.
Just saying. I mean, what, nobody watching football on Sunday going, you know what I miss? That 11-10 game last week.
Mm. We put up 10 points last night?
No.
Oh.
Y'all own the Rams in the regular season.
Okay.
That's the Detroit Stafford and everything. You know, I have nothing to say about that. I'm just saying, no. When you got it, when you got Tom Brady playing Patrick Mahomes that night, no one is going, you know what we really need? We really need Jimmy Garoppolo and Matt Stafford. No one said that.
Hey, man, I'm just telling you what it is, man. It's NFL Sundays without the Niners. Kind of mid. We'll see what happens this Sunday with the Raiders not playing. Maybe it's just as mid. I don't know. I'm just telling you, when the Niners aren't playing, it is. Maybe it's just as boring when the Raiders aren't playing. I don't know.
No. You don't even like Jimmy. Now you're talking about it's mid when he's not playing.
No, I do like Jimmy. I just don't have any faith in Jimmy. There's a difference.
Oh, okay.
Do you have faith in Derek Carr?
I don't have faith in Josh McDaniels.
Oh, okay.
I have more faith in Derek Carr than I do in Josh McDaniels. I mean, what was that onside kick? What was that about? Like, Denver's been struggling on offense all year. What do we do? Let's put him in midfield just for the hell of it.
Yeah, that was.
It's like he's playing a game of Madden. He's like, "What's this? Will get him. This will get him." I mean, your defense is not great. Their offense has been struggling, so you're going to put your struggling defense in midfield. Then one long pass during field goal range.
But, Jason, like I said a couple weeks ago, for everybody that thinks I'm a Raider hater, which is just false, I pointed it out last week when they were 0-3 and everybody was talking about how the playoffs are done. No, when two teams make the playoffs, no. I said, look, all you need to do is make sure you don't go 0-4. Get this one against Denver. Yeah, you got a tough one against KC. Luckily for you guys, you're getting paid handsomely to go there. But after that, once you collect your $400,000,
it's like they're not professionals.
Maybe you can get back on the good foot. And look, by week 7 or 8. With 7 teams that make the playoffs, if you can get to 3-4 or 4-4, whatever the case may be, season's far from over.
No, I didn't think it was over. I was like, I was hoping maybe Tom Brady would do me a solid. I'm like, if everyone's 2-2 and you're 1-3, you're right there.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, you know, Tom didn't help me out this time. But, you know, I was not on the jump ship the season's over with the first pick the Raiders select. There's just every game Josh McDaniels makes me go, what are you doing?
Hmm.
Like, just not, I understand being a risk. I mean, it's not even logical. So I'm like, why? Right. Like, even if you're in the camp of Derek Carr can't be trusted, why are you just throwing the ball when you can run sometime? Mm-hmm. They get turnovers. He's like, you know what I'm going to do? If I'm going to drop back 7 steps, like Josh Jacobs. I mean, you finally got Josh healthy.
Mm.
He was hurt for like a year and a half, it felt like. Mm-hmm. Run him. Especially you got a shaky offensive line. Why would you expose them by letting them drop back and letting whoever's rushing the passer hit Derek 10 times a game?
It's not over for the Raiders. In all seriousness, I think they got a lot of talent on that team. I'm worried about the secondary, but I think they got pass rushers. Obviously, they got things on the offensive end. There's a lot of talent on that team.
I'm worried about Abram covering anyone.
Mm.
I would like Chandler Jones to show up at some point and like touch a quarterback, but they got it. I mean, it's not over. I mean, it's never over this early. Usually I always tell people the reason why those stats about 0-2, 0-3, usually those teams are just really bad teams anyway. Mm-hmm. So even if they were 3-0, they were going to end up 5-11 or guess now 5-12. I'm like, those stats just tell you that bad teams normally don't make the playoffs.
Well, those stats should be weighted differently too now because there's an extra game. So 0-2 doesn't mean what it used to because there's a whole other game here to be played. I have bigger concerns with the Raiders with the fact that they're stepping in to take on Kansas City on Monday. Like that's a far greater concern than what they've done. And I don't know that there's a better team in football right now than the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, and they still call Mahomes dad. So I mean, so proven otherwise. I mean,
a lot of people. He got a lot of kids.
He Phillip Rivers out there, them. Boy. He got them all.
That game was a couple of years ago where they went out there and beat him, but that's like where Max like broke out and was like unblockable.
That was one of one.
Yeah. So I'm thinking, you know, if they can, you know, get a pass rush, you know, maybe get a turnover or two. I mean, it's not a game where they can't win. Just because the way the NFL is, the talent gap is really close for the most part. Mm-hmm. Even if it comes down to coaching, and then you got, do I trust Josh McDaniels against Andy Reid? Probably not, but hey, take my chances.
Well, let's get to what you were trying to do. Again, Jason Jones, the professor, just minding in his own business last night, trying to watch Kings and Lakers before he's accosted by Kenny Caraway here.
Varsity game is on. Nobody was.
Varsity game was on.
I had Monday Night Raw, that and the preseason game going on. I mean, I knew the Niners and Rams were playing. It wasn't like it was a secret.
Just wasn't all that interesting.
I do need that shirt. I need my name above it because I've been accused of being a heel. So
you are a natural born heel.
What do I do?
That's why.
He's the bad guy who pretends like he's not bad. Like, why are you booing me? I'm an Olympic gold medalist. What are you booing me for? I'm a hero.
Yeah, I mean, what did I ever do? What did I ever do? Then, you know, we hate you. Okay, I guess. It's not my fault I tell you the truth.
you elicit a reaction, and that's all that matters. Jason Jones' name is not really met with silence.
That's all you really want. No, good or bad, you need a reaction.
What was your reaction to the Kings last night? As you were attempting to watch basketball last night, what was your reaction to that Kings-Lakers game?
No, I mean, I pretty much watched the first half because in the second half it was kind of like, you know. But what jumped out to me about the Kings is that part of it is who they were playing. That the Lakers are a big team. They still look really small.
Mm.
And I wonder how that's going to affect them defensively over the course of the season. I mean, the Lakers are kind of an anomaly because, you know, if they're going to start Damian and AD together, that's – they're going – you know, but I just was like, wow, they look really small still.
Yeah.
And that's one of the – you know, that's one of the areas that's going to be a problem. You know, Sabonis is a good big, but he's not, you know, you know, he's not this big, like 7'1" type center. Mm-hmm. So I just wonder if defensively they'll have problems just because against the better teams, do they have enough size? But I mean, I like the fact that De'Aaron was aggressive. I think they can't win this season at all if De'Aaron's passive. So yeah, to me, the numbers didn't mean as much as just the way they played. And De'Aaron was aggressive. And to me, that's going to be the key to them all year. If De'Aaron's aggressive, you know, they're going to have a chance most nights if he's playing aggressively.
Yeah. Did you see anything? Cause it's, you know, been talked about a lot with Mike Brown coming in and the way they have played defense the last few years. Did you see anything early on different about this team defensively at all? Or was it just too early to tell, really?
It was still early, but they still look bad. I mean, that first quarter, I mean,
the first unit did, yeah.
Russ was just like, bye, let me get to the rim real quick. Mm-hmm. You know, so I mean, and that's what I mean. Some sense, and so, you know, you can scheme all you want. At some point, the guys you have to do something. Mm. Or you got to get different guys. So I just wonder if they have enough just defensively. I mean, are we going to have another year of, hey, Harrison, how many guys can you guard? You know, because I think it's not a knock to say that Sabonis is not known for being a great defender. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think either one of their options at two guard right now is known for shutting anyone down. And De'Aaron can be when he wants to be. And it's kind of been hit or miss with De'Aaron on that end. So, I'm not going to throw a whole lot into the first preseason game. Guys are still learning things, figuring things out. But at some point, we got to see, we've talked about scheme, as a couple of coaches have always told me. There's only so many schemes you can run. You know, you can have whatever your preferred philosophy is, you know, but at some point, you got to have guys who can do it. So I want to see just in terms of the lineups, you know, how do they decide to go with the four? What do they do there? I mean, there's going to be a lot to be decided before you know exactly what they're going to be defensively, but I'm not going to hit the panic button because they had a rough 8 minutes to start a preseason game.
I thought the biggest surprise, and James Hamm mentioned this earlier, we've really been talking about it throughout the day, is how much Keegan Murray played at the three. We've been so conditioned to Keegan Murray is the four, but he played a lot of three. With that second unit, and that's where he got a lot of those points that he got. I think he was 7 of 11 on the day.
Yeah.
He got a lot of those at the three spot. And it's like, man, we really conditioned ourselves that and I don't remember if Keegan was the birth of the 4-3-3-4 in the way we talk about guys where we put the primary number first and then the mm-hmm. secondary number second. But it felt like with Keegan it was always 4-3, and we saw a lot of him playing three last night.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it is, too, is that I think if you're looking at if they're going to play those, say, Keegan and Harrison together, I don't know if it even matters what you call them. Mm-hmm. I just call them the forwards. Mm-hmm. Because even with KZ out there, that's another 6'8 guy.
Right.
You know, that's not like a four. So, I mean, I just don't think in terms of that position, they don't have, outside of Mezzi, you don't have a lengthy defensive type guy out there. And that, to me, that's what they really need next to Sabonis. Unless you're going to, I don't think you're going to play Rashawn next to Sabonis. Mm-hmm. And even then, Rashawn is still a smaller guy on the smaller end of bigs. He's still in that 6'8", 6'9"-ish range.
Right.
So I just think the way I'm looking at them, they're going to have two forwards. I don't know if it really matters what you call them, because I can see whoever the tougher matchup is defensively, that's who Harrison will be on, whether he's a bigger guy or a smaller. If it's a dynamic, if you're playing, I don't know, say a Brooklyn and they go with a Simmons, Durant, you're going to put Harrison on Durant. And if it's Keegan, you're going to put him on Ben Simmons. It's just, you're going to ask Harrison to guard the more, the bigger threat of the front court players.
Right. Harrison, Casey, Keegan and Harrison did play together along with Davion Sabonis and Fox for about a minute and some change.
It was like a little
before the Rashawn and the rest of the unit came in. Mm-hmm. The rest of the second unit came in.
Yeah, I think we're going to see Mike doing a lot of what the other coaches have done for what 15-16 years, searching. Yeah. Can you find that right mix defensively, just to give them a chance, because they're going to be able to score. They got plenty of guys who can score. I mean, and it's just going to be a matter of who can defend. And the way I look at him right now, two of their better defensive options are both on the smaller end, Davion and Terrence. Mm-hmm. That doesn't help you against LeBron. That doesn't help you against a KD, help you get a guy like a Steph or, a smaller guy. But Harrison's going to need some help at some point. And it's not, to me, it's not fair to ask a rookie, as good as Keegan has been thus far, to ask a rookie defensively to be that guy is asking a lot.
Yeah, I agree. There's been some discussion about the roster and the depth that's on the roster. And obviously, when you talk about you taking it to the highest of the highs, like the Warriors, I don't think they have depth like that coming off the bench. But just your average run-of-the-mill NBA team this year, I think when you talk about Malik Monk, when you potentially talk about Keegan Murray or Rashawn Holmes, Davion Mitchell, I think they got some depth to this Kings roster. Do you agree, or do you look at it as – it's not as good as maybe Kings fans are thinking right now?
I think it's better than what they've had. I mean, you're not in a situation where you're going, I've got 5 or 6.5 rotation players. Mm-hmm. You're going, okay, here's my five, here's my bench guy, and then I'm just kind of going pulling straws every night. I think you have a legit, legit 8-9 man rotation. Now, if the debate is that rotation as good as a Warriors or a Clippers or a Phoenix or whatever going on in Phoenix, that might change. But, if you're talking about that, they're not up there. No, but I mean, I think if you're bringing if you used last night, if you're bringing Keegan Murray, Rashawn Holmes, Davion Mitchell, and Malik Monk off the bench, that's not bad. Mm-hmm. A couple of years ago, at least two of those guys are starters. So to me, that's not a bad thing. It's just, it's relative to, where you're trying to be in the West and everything. And no, you can't get caught up in, well, are they as deep as the Clippers? No. But this is better than what they've had. So you've got at least a fighting chance to, make something happen with, in that lower half or the bottom half of the West, so to speak. Not the bottom, but, that 8-10 range. You got a chance now. And before, it was a matter of if you sat one or two guys down, it was like we're in for a long one. And even whenever they had long stretches of success, and when I say long, I mean 7-10 games, those are usually stretches where, say, a Luke Walton was playing his starters way too many minutes to cover up for those gaps. Right. Where, normally you would, maybe sit De'Aaron at the 8-minute mark. You're playing De'Aaron to the 10-minute mark. To say, to steal a couple of minutes, so you don't have to go with, say, 7 minutes of Corey Joseph. You go to 7-5. So they were trying to mix and match, but every coach would tell you that's only sustainable for so long. To me, that's the reason why you see at the end of the year, a couple of years ago, Harrison Barnes kind of getting hurt. And he would never say it publicly, but the talk privately was Harrison's just breaking down because we've run him into the ground all year. Mm-hmm. And I think now you're in a situation where maybe – you can get a more of a normal rotation where you're not asking guys. You can get from 30 to 34 instead of 34 to 38. I mean, my God, how many minutes did Buddy Hield play in the last few years where people said there's no reason Buddy should be playing that many minutes?
All of them. Yeah. Literally all of them. There's no reason he should be playing any of these minutes.
It's a shot.
Any of them.
And then the question becomes, who do you play? So now you can slot. So I think the depth will help them over the course of a year, because I don't think you worry about De'Aaron, playing too many minutes and all that, because now you can slot guys a little differently.
Mm-hmm. Oh, speaking of, is Lakers any better in that regard? Is this team still feels slim, and you're going to be relying heavily on LeBron, Anthony Davis, and probably Russell Westbrook?
I still say if they at least get a healthy season out of those guys, they'll make the playoffs. I mean, it's to me, I know it's fashionable to make fun of how they were last year, but we can't pretend like AD didn't miss most of the season.
Yeah.
And LeBron didn't miss like 35 games. Mm-hmm. I mean, that, would they have been a good team still? No.
It didn't feel like it.
It was clear that Russell Westbrook was not a fan of Frank Vogel.
Yeah.
It was quite clear. And like I said, they were my least favorite Laker team of all time, just because they played like they didn't give a damn. Hmm. And that's why I was like, they should have just went ahead and put Frank out of his misery and fired him in like December or January. Those guys didn't care. And once they realized they weren't going to be like a title contender, they really packed it in. So I think they'll be better because they'll at least care. And if they have some health, I think they'll be in the playoffs. And then it comes, and if you're them, it comes down to, can you beat LeBron? You know, assuming that LeBron doesn't, you know, tail off a lot this year and that AD's healthy, can you beat those two guys four times? And I think if you're going into a series, that's still going to be daunting, but they got to get there. I mean, I'm by no means watched the first quarter and like, no, popped any champagne last night saying, yay, they're fixed. But I think having some energy guys like a Pat Bev is going to help them. You know, I think just getting some guys who aren't 40 is going to help them too.
Yeah.
You know, I like, you know, so I think they'll be better provided they're healthy. And then, you know, Russ comes off the books and then we can start the Kyrie watch in LA. which is really is just like, God, I mean, damn. Kyrie does so many nice things and then he goes and posts those dumb videos that he shit. It's just like
Kyrie West. Yeah.
It's cool.
You know, I don't know what to make of him sometime.
The professor, Jason Jones.
Real quick, while the professor is here.
Oh, Lord.
You know.
Will you leave this man alone?
No. Names are on the dotted line. So I guess we can let the people know.
Oh, yeah.
The vibes are back. J Street Vibes officially back. Let me get some air horns for that one because the people, they need to know. I've been waiting. J Street Vibes is back. My man, Jason Jones, Kenny Caraway, coming to Odyssey Podcast Network near you.
We can argue about the Niners on a podcast. You know, it won't be any Kings. It'll just be arguing about the Niners.
Yeah, and last time we talked about the
it'll be fun this time of year too because we got the playoffs for at least for baseball. I got baseball playoffs, so
as long as Jason gets to drink
about 2 weeks,
because y'all doing like 9 episodes a week, right? Is that what Danny talked you into? Like 9 episodes a week. As long as Jason can drink on at least one of them, I'm all in on the return of J Street Vibes.
I promise to do that. You know, if I got a sponsor, you know, we got somebody's name behind it, I will drink that every episode if you want.
Hey, got to keep the client happy.
You know, they talk about like Big E on, I think it was Long Kiss Goodnight, where they're like, yo, it never made the album, but yo, he just went off on Tupac on that. Is that what the song is, Long Kiss Goodnight?
Long Kiss Goodnight, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, he just went crazy. But, you know, you'll never hear it because they never put it out.
Put enough out on that song where it was like,
laugh now, cry later. I rhyme greater than the average. True. But we're not dumb.
The night the Dodgers won the World Series, Jason Jones had a biggie before Long Kiss Goodnight.
I will not lie. I mean, I woke up the next day like, I hope I didn't say anything. I was on one, and let them win this year. Oh yeah, it'll be even worse.
Oh man, that's great stuff. Well, happy to hear that the vibes are back. J Street Vibes are back. Jason, we appreciate you, brother. Thanks as always.
Always. See you next week,
Jason Jones, the professor, right there from the Athletic. Oh, next week, doesn't he say? Got to ask him about the White Rabbit. Go ahead and make that switch. The White Rabbit, the Bray Wyatt storyline. Don't make that confused. Look, there's some of the best stuff that WWE is doing right now. But I'm happy to hear that.
I wasn't sure. Yeah. No, I feel you.
I'm happy to hear that J Street Vibes is back. It's long been rumored. 12 Kings podcast a week coming your way.
Breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Yeah,
I'm recording in between commercial breaks of this show.
Kenny doesn't know he signed like one of them old New Edition style contracts to do this podcast. Like he
signed a 360 deal.
Kenny didn't even read the deal that he signed with Danny in San Francisco. It's just like, go ahead, sign that. No, Kenny, it's me. You don't have to read it. Just sign that. You're going to be rich. I promise. All you need is 10 million people to download this podcast. 10 million people download this podcast. You're a rich man.
What did he say on Dre Day? He's like, yeah, just sign your life. I mean, yeah, your name on the dotted.
That's the guy who was running through my head, but I couldn't remember exactly what he said. But it's definitely the Dre Day video right there. Man, that's a lot of Kings content coming up this season between D'Lo and KC, J Street Vibes, the Kings Beat, Deuce and Moe, the Kings Herald. Man, we've the whole family got you covered here, man. That's great stuff.
Absolutely, man. We got this Kings season all
I'm going to miss you, though. I'm going to miss doing the show together. It's tough that you're... Your time is going to be consumed now by doing this podcast 14 times a week with Jason Jones. But
no more 13th round. That's just going to be more time for me to record the podcast.
It's like, okay, guys, we're going to record a podcast right here. We got 5 minutes. Let's go. Jesse, clip that. Put it on the feed. Put it on the feed.
We're going to fill in all of Jason's responses later. I'm just clipping everything I got to say in commercial breaks.
All of Jason's responses is going to be, yep. I mean, nope. And they're just going to be clipped in at various points throughout the show. It's weird. There really isn't another game till Sunday. This is just poor preseason scheduling. Yeah. Like, why is there no game? And I know there's one Friday. So there's a game. Where are we at? There's a game Sunday?
Sunday, yeah. Sunday,
Wednesday?
And Friday. Yep.
But there's nothing for the next 5 days.
Feels like the Kings, I'm not going to say drop the ball, but I think other teams are playing this week. Like the Lakers, I think, have a game in the middle of this week.
Why are there three games next week? That's ridiculous. The Kings-Blazers game should have been on Saturday. Be out there at the Golden 1 Center on a Saturday for that. Could have done that. Yeah. Instead, I'm not going because it's a football day. The 49ers and Panthers play at 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
We got a job to do.
I'm not going to be able to make it up to the draft lounge. Remember that whole fiasco?
As opposed to the drought lounge?
Yeah.
I still think the spelling of draft is ridiculous.
I do too.
I haven't texted your boss to see if we can go to the Kings Lakers on Friday night, though. I'm gonna send that one out, and it's gonna be tough because now we've got Sac State responsibilities on Saturday. Kings Lakers. You know what's crazy about that? If all of this goes according to plan, there's a very real situation where D'Lo and KC are going straight to the Kings Lakers game after leaving the D'Lo and KC studio in Roseville. That would put you out of the house for the entire day.
Yeah, that might not help my causes.
I can't tell if the Queen Bee would be excited about that or frustrated by it.
I may be at the home studios that day.
the new studio lasts 4 days. Kenny can't come to work today. He's just going to do the show at home. But yeah, they got the Blazers on Sunday, the Suns on Wednesday in Phoenix, and then they'll end against the Lakers on Friday. They have nothing until Sunday. I guess from a practice aspect, that's good, but also from Mike Brown's aspect, it's like, all right, I got to three games in 5 nights. What the hell are we doing? Right. I got to map this out a little bit here.
Three games in 5 nights, and then they play on Wednesday.
And then they play on Wednesday.
Well, no, because
the last game's Friday, and then they're off until they don't play again until the Wednesday. They're not playing again until that Blazers opener. I thought about James this morning when I scheduled my haircut and just laughed. Like, no, I'm getting my haircut on the day of the game. Like, if I could get it cut like right before I left, I would. But yeah, we're gonna be in the building at the Golden One Center on the 19th, and there are people actively working to keep us out. But I assure you, we will be there.
That's crazy, bro. That's crazy.
Hey,
that's crazy.
When you're desperate, man, you'll do anything you can. You will do anything you can.
Desperate times call for desperate measures, I guess.
Final takeaways. Obviously, we'll talk more about the Kings tomorrow. Olivia Christian will be with us tomorrow. James Hamm will be with us tomorrow. We'll work on solidifying a couple of other people. We'll talk a lot more about the Kings overall. Walking away with a very positive feel For how the Kings played, a very positive feel for how that second unit played. I really love the obviously the play of Keegan Murray was tremendous, and I love the play of Rashawn Holmes. I just love the play for him because I felt like that had to feel good for him playing a limited amount of time, being as productive as he was given the season that he had last year. I don't have a lot of negative takeaways besides free throws, and you know you got to get those three pointers to fall more times than not.
Yeah, man, making free throws. Three-pointers come and go. You'll be able to, you know, have good nights and bad nights with that. Always got to have the good nights at the free throw line. That's what some I want to see working on. But other than that, it was a positive night last night down at Crypto.com Arena.
If you missed any part of today's show, you can download the D'Lo and KC podcast here on the Odyssey app or on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get podcasts from. Just search D'Lo and KC. Hit the subscribe button. Search Corners of the Culture as well if you want more D'Lo and KC content. We're recording a new episode here in just a couple of minutes to drop on Thursday. If you're on YouTube, hit the thumbs up. And no matter where you are, make sure that you're back here with us tomorrow at noon on Sacramento Sports Leader. It's D'Lo and KC on ESPN 1320.
I love the Kings and the Niners.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.